Another year brings new and old faces together for the common goal of striving for academic and athletic excellence. The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 in conjunction with Hawaii Pacific University proudly presents Sharks Weekly, a deep dive into HPU athletics and who are this week's standout performers. Which program is making a splash in the classroom, community, and on the field? What are the upcoming schedules? All these questions answered and more. Coming live from the HPU Esports Arena, powered by DSC Hawaii, on the Hawaii Pacific University campus at Aloha Tower Marketplace. Here's your host, Hawaii Pacific University's Vice President and Chief Marketing Communications Officer, Jeffrey Rich.
Aloha, Sharks Nation! We are broadcasting live from HPU's Esports Arena here, powered by DSC Hawaii. As the man said, I am your host, Jeff Rich, and I am extremely excited to be with you this morning. We have an exciting show for you because we have HPU's defending national champion cheer team in studio. Yeah, let's give some rounds. Quite an accomplishment last year. But hey, before we get rolling with cheer, let's say hello to Mr. Paul Breck, who is with me as always.
Nice to see you, Jeff. How's it going today, my friend?
It is going well. How has the week treated you, Paul? Been pretty busy?
It's been good so far. Busy per usual. Been looking forward to this one today. Like you said, we have our national champion, defending national champions from cheer in the house today, and got plenty of fun stuff upcoming this week. We'll get into a whole bunch. I'm excited for this one.
Nice, nice. Well, we will check back with you on a look back and a look ahead on HPU Sports here in a little bit. But I want to get right to the conversation this morning. So let me first introduce the head coach of HPU's cheer team, our returning champion. I think the second time I've had you on the show, at least. And it's good to have you back in studio, James. Hailing from Dumfries, Virginia. I think we talked a little bit about that last time, having spent a little time out in Williamsburg for me at William & Mary. But, James, you are back for your second full season now. First full season, second season, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that.
But, you know, you have a unique perspective, you know, as the head coach, because you were a student athlete here and a member of the team just a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's start there. Well, first of all, you know, maybe just tell us a little bit about your transition from athlete to coach, and then I want to talk to you guys about how does it feel to, you know, to be the defending champs, you know, to feel a little bit like you have a target on your back, I'm sure, and everybody elevates their level of competition when they play the champs. But James, let's bring you into the conversation, and you know, how is it going, and how has that transition gone for you?
I thought I was too loud for a second. The transition's been pretty interesting. But nothing like I feel like I can't handle. It's just I've been a part of cheerleading for so long, but in terms of being like the admin side of things, I haven't really or hadn't prior experience with. So everything involving like competition routines, going to competition and like, you know, coming up with skills and things, you know, practicing and what we're going to do at practice, all that kind of stuff. Like I had been helping with previously being like an assistant coach and like, you know, a bit of a leader on the team. And then like moving into the admin side of things, I'm like, whoa, there's like so much more to do. Like when you step into like a head coach role. So that stuff has been super enlightening and it's been great to see because you never really know what a head coach has to do until you like really, you know, get put in that situation. So, it's been really cool. And I think that, you know, being a former member of the team, getting to be the person that kind of like helps take care of those things, bring pretty cool and having assistant coaches are super helpful as well. So,
yeah. And you brought one of your assistants with you, Sarah Almeida. Yes. Sarah, it is good to have you. You know, introduce yourself and tell us a little about where you're from and how you know, how you ended up where you are right now.
Yeah, so I'm from Mililani, Hawaii. I went to high school out there at Mililani, and I cheered there, obviously. I graduated from Southern Methodist University and also cheered there. I won two collegiate national championships on that team. It was a blast. We had a really great sports program as well, just like at HPU. I was also at cheer athletics for a couple of years, and I won an NCAA championship on that team as well. So a lot of cheer. I'm also the head coach at McKinley High School. And yeah, and then Kimo and I met, and wow. Here we are.
You are a busy person. Boy, yeah. And SMU, yes. Exposure to some big-time programs and games. And
yes,
any fun experiences stand out?
Yeah, we went to a lot of different conference championship kind of games. We always got to travel and cheer, which is really fun. I also cheered at a couple NCAA tournaments, so that was exciting. I think I actually was in Louisville one year, and we had passed each other but didn't know each other, so it's kind of strange how we've also competed against each other at Worlds, so it's very
so you guys
weird.
Did you know each other?
Not at all.
Just in comparing notes. Oh my god, I was that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Let's bring our student athletes into the conversation, and let's start Kaylee. You are a Hawaii native from Waianae. Mm-hmm. You stayed home and went to school here at HPU. First of all, tell us a bit about yourself. And, you're a freshman pursuing nursing, I know. Or have you changed your mind already?
No, I've actually been for 4 years already.
Oh, okay.
I am in nursing. But, yeah, my name is Kaylee Tupungai. I'm 22 years old. I'm from Waianae. I went to Damien Memorial School in Kalihi, and then I came here to HPU to cheer. I've been cheering for about 12, 13 years already. Got several titles in between here and there, and then now currently I'm just coaching at Kapolei High School and an all-star gym called 808 Cheer Sharks.
So you guys compete against each other at the high school level? Or?
We actually don't, because her team is co-ed and mine is all girls.
There's separation of those competitions.
Yes.
Got it. Okay, well, welcome to the show. It's good
Thank
to have you.
You
with us. And we have hailing from Waldorf, Maryland. Kai, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're studying. And
I'm Kylan Sarsozo, Kai for short. I'm from Waldorf, Maryland. I cheered at Maryland Twisters for, 5 years and won Worlds in 2023. Then I came here. So excited. Moving all the way from the East Coast to the beautiful state of Hawaii.
What brought you here? How did HPU get on your radar?
I knew I wanted to be a nursing major, but I had looked all around the East Coast. I looked at, I looked at Maryland. I looked
University
at...
University of Maryland?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's Towson, right? Or no. Where is that? Baltimore.
It's College Park.
College Park. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's a suburb of Baltimore?
No. It's kind of in between Baltimore and Waldorf. It's 45 minutes away from me. Yeah. And I looked at all those big schools, and it was UH and HPU as my last two choices. And I was like, HPU is a better tier program. Why not?
We're a lot different than UH too. Much smaller school, mm-hmm. A more intimate setting.
Yeah.
Did that weigh in on your decision?
It did. I liked the smaller, homey schools that your teachers know you, all your friends know you. And I just like getting to know everybody in such a smaller setting rather than such big, overwhelming settings.
Yep. HPU, a place where our professors know things like our students' names.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to feel recognized. I think that creates a sense of community that's really hard to build. And it's one of the unique things about coming to school here, for sure. So the Hawaii experience for you, had you been here before you went to college?
No.
Did you come out and, for admitted student day or anything, but you just
came out and
jumped right in?
Yeah, I went into it blind. I do have family out here, but I had never been before.
Nice. Well, I think you made an excellent choice. And it sounds, James, you've assembled a fantastic team, a competitive team with a great attitude that has proven results now out in competition. So I think the key question that I was really interested to ask you guys is, what does it feel like when you come into that season after winning a championship? Does it create added pressure? Do you feel like everybody's gunning for you all the time? I just have to believe, having, heard from teams and athletes that have been on championship teams, that the next year it's just so hard to repeat. So what's that been like?
So I think maybe last year when we came on the show, we talked about I think maybe the scoring systems, how they kind of change a little bit and vary from year to year. So once again, we've kind of had that happen. So it's a little more unique in the requirements for the amount of stunts and tumbling versus your team size. So we've pretty much just been working pretty, I think we've worked pretty well with that this year. So, because, you know, you never know what another team looks like until there's, you know, other teams have their showcases and then maybe they put it on social media or something like that. But, I mean, the expectation is that you really don't see other teams until you go to Daytona. So we're really just focused on ourselves and what we are capable of and, you know, catering our routine to best fit the rubric. So the scoring rubric, yeah.
Yep. I want to we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk more about that feeling that you guys have from the athlete's perspective. And then I also want to talk a little bit about, you know, for those that aren't familiar, how is cheer scored? And, you know, it's a sport that you're not keeping track by, you know, visible goals or baskets or something. So there's a subjectivity, I imagine, to scoring in a bit. So I'm sure our listeners are interested to learn more about that. But first, we will take a quick commercial break. You're listening to Sharks Weekly. I'm your host, Jeff Rich, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Sharks Weekly on the Hawaii Sports Radio Networks, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
And we are back. And hey, just a reminder for our listeners that we do record the hour, and you can always catch us on the Hawaii Sports Radio Networks YouTube page where you can see the live stream of the conversation we're having this morning. We're with HPU's defending national champion cheer team. So, guys, we were just starting to talk about, you know, the dynamic of that second year after the championship. James was telling us a little bit about things from the coach's perspective. How do you guys feel as athletes? And I think, now you said, as we were talking earlier, neither of you were on the team last year.
I actually was on the team.
I'm sorry. So you're returning. You're a freshman, you said. Okay. So we've got one perspective of, yeah, I was there and part of it, and you're coming in thinking, all right, you know, people are gunning for us, and I'm stepping into some higher-level competition. So what's that feel like?
I actually think last year was more of a challenge for us just because it was our first year back in like 11 years, just coming out of nowhere off a bus, and you just see a bunch of HPU Cheer Sharks coming. I know a lot of people were surprised. We had a lot of support, though, in the mainland. Like, everyone was telling us good luck, you know, get that title back. So it was very overwhelming in the moment for me. I know it was. It was like, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize how big of a situation this was. But for this year, I think I'm more comfortable because I kind of know what the setting is like, especially with my coaches. I have a lot of trust in them because I've known them for so many years. So yeah, I'm actually very excited.
All right, and Kai, so you're stepping into this. Brand new experience, a new exotic place to be. You've got the added pressure of being part of a championship team. So what's that been like for you?
I do think that it's big shoes to fill, but I do think that the team that we have now could possibly make that happen again.
That's what you guys were saying, that you feel that as strong as last year's team was, this year is even stronger. You know, Sarah, what's your point of view? If you you know, you're here and you're a part of the cheer culture on the island, being a part of high school programs, so you have a good view of the talent and the notoriety that programs get. You know, so what do you think?
I'm really excited. I think that, like he was mentioning, the score sheet earlier, the rubric, that's one thing that I do as well, like with the high school, at the high school level. There's a very specific scoring system and rubric that you kind of have to play in your favor, and I think that's what we've done this year. We're really focusing on our team, like how we can be the strongest in each individual category, and I think we're hitting that mark to the best of our ability.
So when you talk about the scoring rubric, you know, is it largely technical? You know, what's the level of subjectivity in terms of how the scorers interpret the presentation versus the technical points of your competitions?
So on our rubric, like specifically one of the things that we've been really making sure that we hit perfectly is our tumbling aspect. So he was mentioning the rubric had changed, or the scoring had changed, and last year you were able to do layouts, like two to layouts, and that would hit the highest mark. And this year they change out that you have to have two to fulls. So that's kind of one thing that we've been really pressing, is like making sure we have enough two to fulls to the amount of people that we have on the team. And Yeah, so it's just like small things like that. Like our stunts have to be a certain amount of like twisting to the top, to one leg. Same thing with our pyramid. We have to have different flipping entries, different twisting entries, flipping off, twisting off, like unreleased versus released. So it's a lot of, it's a lot, but.
And are there, you know, like in, you know, say gymnastics where there, or figure skating, where the higher the level of difficulty, the better the score if you hit it and you nail it?
Yes. Okay. That's another thing. Execution plays a huge role. So you can have all the 2-to-fulls in the world, but if they're not technically perfect, or, you know, people are touching out or the legs are bent, then you would get a lower execution score. So that's kind of where you're playing,
okay,
playing
so there's
the rubric.
A strategy there too.
Yeah.
All right. So James, that brings you back into the conversation as the head coach. So how do you game plan, you know, and when you look at the talent of the team, the technical aptitude, you know, and you think about what you need to accomplish, how do you go about putting together the routine, the activities that the team is going to pursue when they're in competition?
So when, like, the new changes to the rubric comes out, like, say, for this year, there's a menu of options where you can have certain twisting elements, certain inverting elements, different things like that when it comes to entries and dismounts for stunts and pyramids. So when you're at practice, you know, you work on your tumbling and such, but you also look at the menu of options that you have, which is, I feel like, a pretty good list that you can kind of play with, and you see what your team is capable of doing within that list and what you can do best technically. So once you figure out what, you know, or it could just be a coach's preference, like, I really want to do this year. So then you work on that one thing, or you look at the list and you say, hey, I think we could try this. I think my team can do this. And then, you know, it really just depends on how a coach wants to go for it. But we really just decided to experiment with a lot of different things and see what stuck best and what we were best at. So that's pretty much how we decided to choose. So we have like a couple really great, one transitional element in our stunt, one flipping entry, flipping and twisting dismount, our pyramid. We flip up to it, we twist up to it, we twist down from it, we flip down from it. So I think we have a pretty good selection of things that we've, you know, worked on throughout practices.
Nice.
So,
yeah. And Kaylee and Kai, do you guys, you know, the athletes on the team ever get together and, you know, lobby for something you want to do that maybe the coach didn't put in the practice routine? Or, you know, are there things that you've, as a team, said we'd like to try and work those into your competitions?
Yes, we definitely do, but all in good, positive ways. Like, hey, maybe we should try this. Like, and they're very open-minded to our suggestions that we have. And, of course, we don't always do them because they are the coach and they know what's best for us. Like, in the routine, we have like 2 minutes and 15 seconds, and it's like, okay, but in this part of the routine, after you doing this much, do you really think you're going to be able? So it's like they really think smart about it. We're just like, oh, yeah, we just want to do what's cool and what's at the highest level. But they're very open-minded to suggestions that we have. And if we can't do them, they do explain themselves very well of the reasons why.
Yeah. Nice, nice. Have there anything, you know, on your radar, Kai, that, you know, you've kind of seen in competitions or, you know, other, you know, programs in high school, for example, that you've brought to the team's attention, say, hey, this would be really cool to try?
That is one thing that I like about James and Sarah. They're really open to suggestions that we have and to trying them. And I think our team as well, our dynamic is just good enough for us to be able to talk to James and Sarah and be able to talk to each other about the issues that we're having too.
You know, and the team dynamic is a whole nother, you know, level of synergy that's got to be created. What's that like with the team? Are you guys really close? You know, do you socialize together? But tell us a bit about what it's like, you know, to be the social aspects of being a part of the program and how it feels to interact, you know, sort of off the floor and not in competition.
I think that's just really different for us because we all come from different places. We all cheer from everywhere. I'm from the East Coast. Kaylee's from Waianae. We all have different backgrounds. I think it just really helps us bond over our love for cheer and our passion.
Yeah. Nice. Are there activities you guys do as a team, you know, kind of on your own to bond or to create chemistry?
I believe just the other day we had like our spring break, we had practices together, and then like they gave us like a day off in a sense, but on that day off they did all like go to the beach together to spend like quality time to get away from our cheer brains to like kind of calm down and just really hang out and relax with one another.
Nice, nice. I imagine with the success that the program's had, and you commented earlier that, you know, 11-year absence, right? So the program was nationally ranked, a consistent, high-achieving team. The program was on hiatus for a long hiatus, 11 years, and then you came back in year one, you know, won the national championship. Sarah, does, you know, you're plugged into the island sort of, you know, culture and all. Is HPU a destination school now for student athletes that are interested in cheer on the island, at least?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, having a small co-ed team, we both are able to cater to females and males and anyone in between. And I think that it's really awesome that it gives you an opportunity to do co-ed stunts if you're a boy. And it also, like, we also had a girl trying some co-ed stunts too, which is really cool. But it gives everyone on the island another option to go to. It's also really exciting to go to NCAA. I love Daytona compared to going to Disney World with UH. But yeah, I think that HPU is definitely a place that athletes can come. We've been hosting a couple of clinics, and we had a lot of interest. And yeah, we're excited to have another option for students on island to choose HPU.
Is the clinic an annual thing that the team does?
We've been doing it, I feel like, monthly since December. Yeah, and you know, we allow high school age athletes to come in and stunt and tumble with the cheerleaders and try out skills that they might not be able to do in high school. And try skills that they are able to do in high school and just kind of brush up on that technique.
Nice, yeah. Nice. Now, you guys are hugely in demand across campus, right? You have to attend multiple different sport events. You get pulled in. I know the administration has asked you to come from time to time to different things to represent the school. That's got to be, I mean, just a huge commitment of time beyond what you just expect for practice time and the competition, but having to go to different sports activities. What's that like?
I definitely think it's challenging, like mentally sometimes, also physically. Like, we could have a late practice and then have to be somewhere early in the morning. Like, it happens. But I also feel like that's part of our job as cheerleaders, to represent where we go to school and like where we come from pridefully. Yeah, I just think it's all supposed to be part of the job. Like, if it's too much, then cheer isn't the sport for you.
You know, was it overwhelming for you? Because it's hard enough to be a student athlete and to keep up with your academics and all when you just have to focus on the sport that you're there to do. But as I said, you guys have to spread the love right all over campus and represent school spirit and be present. And that just, you know, for you as a freshman, that's got to be really difficult to acclimate with that kind of demand of your time.
It was definitely something that I needed to adjust to, but I think I adjusted pretty well. I had my teammates to help me out. I had my mom back home pushing me through it. And I'm sure James and Sarah, if I ever needed it, would be there.
Yep. Well, you guys have done an amazing job, James and Sarah. I mean, just continuing to produce just high-quality competition and recruiting great athletes. We're going to take another quick commercial break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more cheer with HPU's national champion, defending national champion team. I am Jeff Rich. I'm your host. You're listening to Sharks Weekly, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Sharks Weekly on the Hawaii Sports Radio Networks, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
And we're back talking cheer here on this beautiful Thursday morning on the wonderful campus of Hawaii Pacific University at Aloha Tower Marketplace. Hey, I just want a quick shout out and a thank you to our amazing sponsors here of Sharks Weekly. Giovanni Pastrami, Waikiki's premier sports bar. You guys ever been there? Yes, it truly is the premier sports bar. It's an amazing place and a fun place to go. Thank you, Giovanni Pastrami, for your support of the university. And our other sponsor I want to shout out today is Bank of Hawaii. The Bank of Hawaii is a proud supporter of Hawaii Pacific University athletics and the only local bank ranked one of America's most trusted companies by Newsweek. Bank of Hawaii, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. So thank you to our wonderful sponsors. And, you know, and speaking of sponsors, you know, we have this new sign by DSE Hawaii installed here. And I see we put a lower wattage bulb in there. For those that want to see what we're talking about, check out the live stream on YouTube. And we have this incredible, this really well-designed, beautiful sign of our sponsor, DSE Hawaii. And It's got this cool kind of lit design in the middle, and we put a bulb in there that was really bright, and I think kind of burned your retina for a moment, and now we've got it toned down. But great sign. But check it out if you want to see what we're talking about. So, guys, I want to call out one of the, you know, we try and gather a little info, you know, coming in on things like superstitions and all. And Kaylee, I want to ask you both, but we'll start with Kaylee. So I'm going to read this because it's quite involved. So your pregame superstition, before a routine, you clap your hands three times, rub them together, bless the mat, kiss my hand, punch the mat three times, stand up and bless yourself, give it to God, then put it in the hands of my heart, then I slap my chest three times. That is quite a superstition.
Sounds very intense, huh?
Where'd you come up with that? How did you evolve to something so intricate?
You know, I actually had this discussion with my mom when I was like, should I write my superstition out? Like, this looks pretty crazy. And she was like, we were trying to think about when exactly I started doing it. And I honestly don't remember. I think once I became on like a level 4 team and I actually like had some type of tumbling skills to throw, like, or I think I just had more experience in cheer. It was just becoming more hardcore for me. So I think just all of a sudden I started, I don't know, I just made something up. And as soon as I hit a good routine, I just, okay, this is what we're going to do from now on every single time we go out on the mat.
Did you build into that level of elaborateness, or was that the whole thing from day one?
That was the whole thing from day one. I think there was probably more clapping in some times or others, but... yeah, and I think even last year for Daytona, I think I also made it a thing to chihu before before we start to give it a good send off before we competed.
Wow, you know, it's funny how superstition can play such a big role in sports, both for the athletes and the fans, right? I mean, you know, Paul, I'm sure you as I have had a favorite, you know, shirt that you want to wear when your favorite team, football, whatever it might be, playing. And
I'm incredibly superstitious. It's honestly almost embarrassing at times, like the amount of things that I go through to make sure, like, if my teams are doing well, then I'll make sure that, like, just shaving schedule compared to, like, brushing my teeth and whatever, I have to sit in the exact same spot. I'm a former baseball guy, though, so that's
the worst with superstitions.
It's terrible. So, you know, I totally get it. I heard that, her whole superstition, and I was just like, that's it.
Well, Kai, your superstition, a little bit more straightforward, but similar kind of mode. So you stomp your right foot three times on the mat.
Yeah.
So is that at the beginning, before competition, or before each, you know,
before
routine?
Anything. Like,
before
even
anything.
Like yesterday at the gym before our full outs, I was stomping my right foot three times.
Wow. All right. So by show of hands, how many people here, if you're watching a sport, you know, whatever the sport might be, whatever the team might be, always feel like if you do something, the team responds? Like for me, I'm a big football fan, and I feel like if the team isn't doing well, if I get up and walk away and just don't watch for a little bit, I come back, they're always playing better. They're, you know, the scores, it just seems like that's, you know, the
it's
thing that works.
It's very clearly your fault.
It is my fault that 5,000 miles away from where they're playing, that my not watching them has an impact on the game.
Yeah, they're doing bad because they're watching.
Yes, exactly. Does anybody else feel like that or have a similar kind of – all right, James.
Yeah, so like say at practices we do a lot of recording to, you know, we do a lot of, you know, pretty risky things in cheerleading in terms of, you know, flying, twisting, flipping, all these things. So like we'll record, you know, for a playback and we can slow it down and look at the details of it. So like a lot of times it's almost like as soon as you hold up a phone and you press record, like it just won't. The skill won't go or won't hit or won't be very successful. And the second you forget to record it or you put your phone down, that's the time it was perfect. And we're like, we can't look back at it because the camera. Like, you know, it's the camera's fault. So, you know, things like that, exactly like maybe walking away, you're just like, oh, or even sometimes when we don't see it, they're like, oh, that was such a good one, you missed it. And we're like, it's because we weren't watching. So, you know.
Oh, my. Well, Sarah and Kaylee, so you guys are both high school coaches, you said, right? Have you guys noticed, you know, any, you know, is there a different mentality to younger athletes that are coming up from even you guys as college students today? But when you think about, you know, the preparation or the mentality and thinking of, you know, folks still in high school that are aspiring to accomplish what you've accomplished, is there a difference that you see?
I think personally, I'll just say for my team specifically, I was kind of, it was a blessing in disguise that I had like all new athletes. So they kind of didn't really know, they didn't have their own, I'm not sure how to say it. Mentality? Yeah, like mentality that I kind of had to structure my program around. They were all like fresh, like never cheered, but were like really interested, like really excited. So I feel like I was really lucky to kind of put in like what I've learned, what's been successful for me and all the programs that I've been a part of into them. And it really worked out in our favor. So I feel like, you know, knowing how to work harder, like knowing that sometimes cheerleading is a really a mental sport and like really locking in as a team, like talking to each other on the mat, getting through hard times, getting through hard skills by like remaining positive and knowing kind of when to step off as a team, like, okay, this isn't working out today, like, we'll table it and come back tomorrow. And also everything with kind of how we were mentioning, like, cheerleading is a lot, so you know you have to go cheer a football game until 10 p.m., have a senior night, and then get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to get ready to compete the next day. So I think that I'm really lucky with, at least with my program, that kind of shaping them, molding them into a way to kind of know that everything that you do in high school, like even if it's just like not cheerleading, like that'll kind of push you into different things like out in the real world, you know. But I do know that it's hard because a lot of times with cheer before I was in high school over here and I know we were like super like diehard cheerleading people. But I know that with all the other things kind of going on in high school, like, oh, I want to try to like do hula, I want to dance hula, or, you know, I want to work. So I feel like sometimes it's hard to kind of only focus on cheer, only focus on the sport that you want to do because there's so many other things to do. But I think everyone, it's really noticeable on the island that everyone is like still like kind of diehard cheer fans and trying to further their skills, going into to different all-star gyms to get tumbling classes, doing flying classes, all those things. So
you guys have connections into other sports, acro and tumbling, mm-hmm. gymnastics, dancing, hula. Mm-hmm. Any other activities, those activities you guys are involved in, Kaylee and Kai?
Yeah, I actually was a Tahitian dancer. I started when I was like 2.5. I did my first competition. So I've been like part of like the culture for a really long time. So I have like a large group of people that I can connect to pretty basically anywhere on the island. so that's always very reliable. But going off of like what you were talking about with Sarah, like mentality wise, it does feel like a different generation. So I just learned as a younger coach that all athletes are different. I was raised in a more, not aggressive, but like more hardcore approach to cheerleading than others are more very soft, light-handed, like, oh, this is fun. But like from where I come from, it's very competitive. It's very hardcore. And it's like you're in it to win it and you're locked in 24/7.
And it's, you know, from somebody who watches, it's insane what you guys can do. I mean, the flipping, it amazes me when I see it. And I'm like, how can anybody have the courage to launch like that and do, you know, whatever, a double spin in the air? It's crazy. Do you ever feel, I mean, when you were young and starting out in the sport, that must have been intimidating. What did you feel like and how did you get over what I have to imagine was some anxiety over that kind of move?
So I do think that I got a late start to cheer. You know, everybody starts when they're like 3, 4. I didn't start till I was 10. But coming into college cheer, it's something completely different than all-star cheer. Getting thrown in a basket and having to flip yourself over and spin. Oh.
So do you, you know, fair question, but even at this point when you guys are really experienced, do you still have a little bit of, you know, anxiety and fear when you know, okay, I got to go do this, lump in the throat?
Yeah, that's when those superstitions really come in handy.
You make it look really easy, I gotta say.
You definitely gotta think like YOLO. Like, you just gotta go. Like, it's like, yeah. You gotta do it sooner or later. You might as well just do it now. Get it over with.
Wow. And, you know, so, I mean, not to be overly dramatic, but literally when you're doing those kinds of moves, I mean, that could be lethal, right? If you land wrong and on your neck and break your neck.
I started cheer at the same age as Kai, actually, like 10, 11 years old. Like, I think that was my downfall in cheer. Like, that's one thing I regret. I wish I started at a young age, like a lot of people in the mainland. I feel like I would have definitely had more exposure and experience to the sport like I wish I had now. Like skill-wise level, I see like little kids, like 7, 8 years old, doing skills I'm doing now, and I'm just like, definitely humbling.
Yeah.
So so that's different. But when I was younger, I actually wasn't scared. I would like fall on my head all the time and like just keep doing it. Like, yeah, I was fearless to it. Yeah, I never got scared until I ran into a wall.
Right. Well, you know, we are very pliable at that age, but
yeah,
wait till you get to be my age and you know, anything could end in a really bad injury. Really quickly. All right. So, hey, we're going to take one more break. We are having a great conversation with HPU's national champion defending team, the cheer team here. We're going to be back in a moment. I'm your host, Jeff Rich, and you're listening to Sharks Weekly.
You're listening to Sharks Weekly on the Hawaii Sports Radio Networks, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
And we are back. We are live in studio. Hey, we were just starting to talk about some things like game superstitions or competition superstitions. But, you know, I want to, before we jump back into that, I want to ask another question, something that you guys brought up earlier. And that's, you know, some teams are co-ed and some are women only. You don't compete against each other, but what determines, you know, why would a school not have a co-ed team other than maybe being an all-girls school, for example?
It really just depends on what you want to compete as, really, or I guess, you know, your talent level, if you can be competitive in a co-ed division or an all-girl division. It just depends. I know when I cheered at Louisville, we had, like, such a large talent pool for, like, at tryouts. So each year, like, annually, that program is able to put out a small co-ed, a large co-ed, and an all-girl team. So, you know, some school, and of course it's D1, so it's much larger. So
yeah,
it depends on where you go. Some schools have a small co-ed and an all-girl, or a large co-ed and a small co-ed. Like, I think like NC State's a school that has probably all three, or at least a large and a small co-ed. So I guess it just really depends on where you go and, you know, the direction that the program's kind of been in, because some folks like to, you know, stay in that all-girl division, you
yeah
know, year after year, or small or large, what have you.
Well, so I imagine that, you know, part of the factoring into what strategy or structure is best for that school is, you know, how much you have to participate in other sports programs, right? If be tough to have only one team and expect them to go everywhere all the time when other sports are expecting cheer to support them.
Yeah.
So that would be a factor, I assume.
Yeah, I think so. I know when I was at Louisville, I think large co-ed or co-ed in general cheered the men's games and all-girl cheered the women's games. And even with volleyball, I think maybe we toggled back and forth between the two.
Okay.
So that was pretty interesting. For us, we cheer both men's and women's. But we only have a certain amount of folks that game, so that makes it good for us too. So, you know, we don't have everyone on the team cheering every single game, so we split it up to kind of like, you know, divide the responsibility, so it's a bit, you know,
oh,
less stressful.
Much easier, I imagine. Yeah, it takes a little pressure off. Paul, you are a man around town. You hit a lot of different sports activities around the island with your role at the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. You know, what's your take on cheer and what you've seen and the support that they provide for programs, whether it's here at HPU or UH?
I mean, personally, I see the team at every single event that I'm at, so I feel like they're at 100% of the events. I'm sure that's not necessarily the case. You got to be other places at other times, too. You know, you guys are a team, too, but they are an exceptionally hardworking crew, and it's a tough sport, man. I'm really enjoying kind of sitting back and learning some of the not so well-known struggles of cheer as well. I think a lot of it, you know, we're talking a bit about the mental aspect of the sport and how difficult it can be to just kind of overcome some of those, and I found that pretty interesting today. But overall, yeah, a team that kind of puts everybody else first and still kicks some okole here on island all the time. So it's pretty dope.
It's a big commitment. Hey, you know, just for our listeners' edification, anything interesting happening here in the coming week around the island, sports-wise?
Let's see. Well, men's basketball just closed up their season this past weekend in San Diego, fell in the PacWest tournament, first time they've made it in 7 years. I was actually out there. We had that on Hawaii Sports Radio Network. If
people want to go back and check on that. We have some pretty fun stuff coming up this week for HPU. We've talked a little bit about the crossover between acro and tumbling and cheer. They actually return home for the first time in what feels like almost a month. This weekend they play or take on University of Mary Hardin Baylor this Friday at 1 p.m. And then also I mentioned before, we're always putting up stuff on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. We'll have the softball doubleheader, I believe, against Chaminade this Saturday, and that'll be our Kyle Galdera and Alan Mia taking on over that broadcast. Have both of those first game time at noon this Saturday.
Very nice. Well, a busy weekend and week coming up before we regroup next Thursday. Back to the the things put a little bit of challenge or even fear sometimes. I think in gymnastics, is it called the twisties when you have that sort of anxiety over? I think who was the Simone Biles? Yeah, and she had bowed out of competition for a year. Is it the same in cheer, or do you call it something different?
From what I know in cheer, it's called a mental block. Pretty
it's
much
a good generic term.
Yeah. Literally. Basically, it just kind of develops out of nowhere, right? Just like you would say the twisties for Simone Biles. But it's very challenging to go through. I know some people that basically stopped cheering because they had grown a mental block for a certain skill they couldn't get past. And it just kept growing to the skills that they had prior for many, many years. So I've seen people overcome it. I've seen it tear people down. It's very, very mentally challenging to overcome.
Sarah and James, from a coaching standpoint, when you recognize that in one of your student athletes, which I imagine you probably have seen that or it's become kind of obvious, how do you coach that out of the athlete?
I wouldn't want to say like coach it out of someone because it can take a really long time. I've been through a couple myself where I'd taken like nasty spills and I was just like, I'm terrified to do this thing again, So it really just depends on the person. Like Kaylee said earlier, like everyone's different. So I know for me, it took me getting into the gym and being just by myself, being in an open space, no one around me, feeling like I wasn't going to run into anyone or run into any structures or anything like that. Some people are like, I'm going to need a spot. They need that hands-on piece to it. So it also, works well when you figure out how to talk to that person too and kind of like relate to them or any type of analogy or, different ways to put it, because a lot of times people need to see themselves doing it or they need to be able to visualize what it looks like for them to feel safe enough to perform it. So everyone's different. So you just have to make sure that you talk with that athlete and, see what their part of where their fear stems from. And that's kind of like how you work with them on that.
Similar perspective, Sarah?
Yeah, everything that he said is basically how you...
So it sounds like the takeaway is, from a coaching standpoint, you really have to kind of figure out what sort of hits the right button for that particular athlete. Mm-hmm. I know in my case, I think back to when I was a kid and I was a baseball player among other sports, and it was probably elementary school, maybe fifth, sixth grade. I was pitching to my dad and he drilled a line drive right, came right back, hit me in the eye and almost lost my eye from it. But from that point forward, as a baseball player, I was afraid of the ball. Throw a curve at me and you're going to strike me out pretty easy because I'm going to bail on the plate. But the way I got over it was, and a coach did this, is he put me behind the backstop and just drilled balls straight at me and made me stand there and take it until I just wasn't afraid of the ball coming at me anymore. So confront the fear, right?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes that can be very terrifying in terms of you can't just throw your body, right? Thinking of throwing a ball at someone or, and what might work for others. But, just thinking like some people are like, just throw it. And you're like, I can't do that. I can't just throw my, go airborne and I'm good, So, everyone's different. So,
yeah. Well, you're right. Everybody is different. And that is the art of coaching, is motivating the team through understanding the team dynamic and then individual motivation by finding what really gets the best and maximum performance out of that athlete. Mm-hmm. And I imagine you guys have high admiration for your coaches and their ability to do that. Anything stand out, Kaylee or Kai, that, you've been kind of coached that's really made a big difference in your career and in your competition?
So during my senior year in All-Star, I had to perform a wonderful. I had such a terrible time trying to get through it, and I would have to do...
Is that
10 every practice, and it was just so stressful. But at the end of the day, I had the skill, and I couldn't have gone through it without my coach's help.
Yeah. So is anything similar on your side, Kaylee?
Yeah, I would say definitely how the coaches motivate us is a big thing for me, especially like I definitely take a more aggressive approach when it comes to me having to throw my skills as well. Like you just have to be really determined to do it. Yeah.
Well, I hear the music is starting, but before we officially sign off, James, I want to ask you one more question. What team are you gunning for this year when you get to Daytona? Who do you want to really show up and have strong competition against?
Oh, goodness. I mean, realistically, our strategy needs to be the same as last year, is we need to go there and worry about ourselves. Honestly,
that's
what that needs to be. But I mean, we're super excited, and we have a lot of great stuff coming up. So if you guys would like to come out and see us, we've got an exhibition coming up for Daytona March 30th. That'll be great. And
that'll be at the Shark Tank?
At the Shark Tank, yeah. It'll be in the evening, March 30th, and we also hope to unveil our mascots as well at that time. We'll be getting a couple new ones and introducing our female shark this year as well.
Well, so I think we'll have to have the mascot on the show at some point. Of course, it'll be a very quiet conversation since none of the mascot talks. But but hey, thanks to the cheer team. And hey, testament to great coaching. Congratulations, James and Sarah, Kaylee and Kai. You guys are rocking it. Best of luck as you continue your academic career and then start that professional career. Thanks for being on the show. We'll catch you next week on Sharks Weekly.